Hello everyone, this is Jeff Bishop and welcome to ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This is Main Menu. This week on Main Menu.
Last week at Sight Village we introduced the new second generation Key to Freedom, bigger, better. As we say in the advertisement, just about the same size on the outside, but boy, is there a lot more to offer on the inside. 512 megabytes of storage as opposed to 128. It features Freedom Box system access and our Freedom Box browser.
We first hear from Mike Calvo, CEO of Ceratec Corporation, all about the new Freedom Box 2.2. They made some announcements at Sight Village. That's coming up this week on Main Menu. And then next...
And the other product?
The other product is the Dolphin Pen, which is a USB memory stick-driven device which includes your screen reader software, or Dolphin software. That could be Supernova, it can be HAL, it can be Lumia, and of course...
So, all right, I've got a document.
Yeah.
How do I use it?
Well, lift the lid up. You place the document in the scanner. We've got a newspaper here I can put in.
Yeah, sure.
You put face down in the document, shut the lid, and press one button.
Your document is being scanned in normal scanning mode.
I'm talking with Peter Bolscher of Dancing Dots, and he has on the stand an interesting program which will scan in print music and play it back on MIDI. Peter, what's the program called?
The OCR program is called SharpEye.
Right, made by?
Viziv.
Okay.
Software, V-I-S-I-V, so that's viziv.co.uk.
ACB Radio's own Chrissy Cochran takes us to Sight Village, where she interviews five of the exhibitors. That's all coming up this week on ACB Radio's Main Menu. I had an opportunity to sit down and speak with Mike Calvo, CEO of Ceratec Corporation. They had a major announcement at Sight Village. We wanted to find out what the big scoop was. So, Mike, what was the big announcement at Sight Village, and what's new in Freedom Box?
Well, I think that most of the listeners of this program would already know what Freedom Box is, so I'll kind of cut to the chase as to exactly what we're doing now, and then if I miss anything, feel free to kind of bring me back and ask me questions. The biggest thing that we were introducing at Sight Village, actually the only thing we were introducing at Sight Village this year, was our second generation Key to Freedom. In 2003, we put out the first Key to Freedom, which is a flash drive, little USB flash drive that you plug in to a USB port on your computer, and it contained our software on it. It was the first product of its kind. It contained our browser, and then when System Access hit the streets in January of this year, we also put it on the Key to Freedom. Last week at Sight Village, we introduced the new second generation Key to Freedom, bigger, better, as we say in the advertisement, just about the same size on the outside, but boy, is there a lot more to offer on the inside. 512 megabytes of storage as opposed to 128. It features Freedom Box system access and our Freedom Box browser. I think that one of the most exciting parts of the new second generation Key to Freedom is the fact that it will run on any Windows XP or 2000 machine without any intervention without any help from a sighted person. Basically, you plug the key in, and using our exclusive Auto Run Anywhere technology. It will run without installing any kind of intercept software. As a matter of fact, the cool thing about both our key to freedom and, of course, the pass key, which was reviewed a while back on Main Menu, which is the CD-based product, is all of these can be used on systems that are guest accounts. That's one of the biggest problems that a lot of sysadmins have with installing adaptive technology, especially in public places, Jeff, is that they have to basically give the user admin rights for the product to work properly because of the Microsoft video chaining technology that most adaptive technology companies are using. With our products, you simply plug them in. With our passkey product, which is a CD, you just put it in the drive, and if Auto Run is enabled on the computer, which most computers have Auto Run enabled, it'll just run, and it'll run the software, whatever on it. So you get your key from us, you put it into the machine, it immediately comes up talking, asks you to enter your authorization code. You enter your authorization code, it sets itself up and installs all the software. It installs our browser. It installs our system access product, which is full access to your computer, Windows and Office applications and just a bunch of other types of applications that you can use in Windows. And it also, if you have our scanning product, our Freedom Scan product, it will allow you to also scan documents if that computer has a scanner attached to it. The beauty of it is by using other technologies that we've included in our Freedom Box offering, things like our home server technology, which allows you to use your home machine kind of as the core of your personal network. We allow you to upload and download files to your location wherever you are from your home machine. And you can store them on the Key to Freedom and plug them into your PacMate or your Braille Note or your Empower or whatever you may have, or your Braille Sense. Doesn't matter. They all recognize the key. They all come with the drivers already installed. So it's really exciting. Not to say that the Freedom Box software will run on Pocket PC devices, but the files that you download from home or what have you can be put there. So, for example, a real application would be, let's say you leave home this morning and you forgot this file that you really needed. You simply go anywhere where there's a public computer available or an office or what have you. You plug in your Key to Freedom. You log on to your home server and you download that file to wherever you are onto your key. You can edit it if there's an editor on that machine, or you can just store it on the key, bring it right into your Braille Note or your PDA of choice, whatever that may be, and simply edit it and then store it or email it or whatever, and you can, you know, do whatever you need to do. And if you want to upload it back to your home server, you can do that. If you want to just carry it around and distribute it, whatever. It's just a really cool way of having exactly the environment that you're used to everywhere you go, no matter where you are, without having to install anything on that machine. That, as a matter of fact, the machine doesn't really ever know that you were there. It's a great technology. I'm amazed by it myself, and I've been seeing the technology in-house for quite some time.
What about Windows 98 and Millennium users, Mike?
We support Windows 98 Millennium users with our passkey product, which is the CD-based product. And the reason for that is that Windows Millennium and 98 don't really provide, without installing a driver, they don't provide access to the disk-on-key, which is the flash drive that we're using by M-Systems. You can do it, but you would need to install a piece of software, just a driver from their website. So it kind of defeats the purpose. Even if the driver were on the machine, I mean, it's not many of us that are going to stop at a public computer and install this driver and so on and so forth. You know, there aren't really that many Windows 98 or Millennium machines out there. But our software is compatible with 98 Millennium. As a matter of fact, System Access will be, we have a version 1.1 of System Access coming out by the end of August, and that will have full support for 98 and Millennium, including Unicode support.
Mike also told us that support for the DOS prompt would also be coming in that 1.1 System Access release. We then asked Mike all about the Dolphin Pen and how it compared to Freedom Box and System Access.
Well, let me tell you, I really just take my hat off to the folks over at Dolphin. They're a great group of folks. They've got a great product in the UK and in Europe, and here in the United States, of course, it's beginning to take hold in certain areas, and I'm really glad to see that. It's really cool to see that they've embraced our technology, our type of technology. For me, it's really a compliment to see a lot of people think that, oh, you know, you're competing. There's some really important differences between our product and the Dolphin Pen. First and foremost, of course, is the price. Our product is $599 plus a $99 subscription, so your total out of pocket is $698 for the Key to Freedom, as opposed to their $1,300. We have a replacement cost if you lose your key of about $200. If you lose your Dolphin Pen, you basically got to go pay another $1,300. And as I've told folks, I don't know if I'd be able to sleep at night having a $1,300 keychain that I'd have to worry about. I mean, it's just that is the other thing, of course, is that with the Dolphin products, you have to install, as well as, it's not just Dolphin, but with any of the adaptive technology out there, that being JAWS for Windows, Window Eyes, you have to install video chaining and, you know, an intercept program of some kind. So, you know, the Dolphin Pen is a great product. I'm sure it has its niches and its places that it will fill. They do screen enlargement in the operating system. We do not. We do screen enlargement only in our browser, while our System Access product will work in Windows, whether you're connected to the Internet or not. For those who do need screen enlargement and can't just do with what Microsoft has to offer in their operating system, you know, the Dolphin solution is a great alternative. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful things that's happening in our market, Jeff, is that people are finally starting to really have a wide variety of choices at different price points, at different levels of need. Our product, of course, has 512 megs of storage. If I recall, my Dolphin Pen 101, which all I have is right now from reading their website and what I've heard from them in interviews and whatnot, I don't believe that you can store things on the Dolphin Pen. Ours can be used, of course, for transporting files as a regular technology. Our Auto Run Anywhere technology doesn't just work for Freedom Box. It is a licensable technology that we are talking to other third-party vendors about licensing our keys with the Auto Run technology, Auto Run Anywhere technology, so that they too can have the power. We certainly don't want to hoard it to ourselves, much like our Seesaw, which is our community-supported accessible web for the Internet, which allows the client-side labeling of web links and things like that. These are open protocols that we're perfectly willing to share and license out to other adaptive technology companies, much like you would do with Grade 2 or whatever. I mean, we've all seen many products out there that use the Duxbury technology because it's just such a robust technology.
We then asked Mike to review some of the changes that the Freedom Box has made in the last couple of months. They've been pretty active in getting releases out there to their user base. So we thought we'd give Mike an opportunity to tell you all about some of the changes that have happened in the short term.
Well, for the conferences, we released Freedom Box version 2.2, which was our new version of Freedom Box based on the Mozilla browser. We started using the Mozilla browser last year in version 2, and 2.2 just features things that will allow creating of your own website, blogging, things like blogging. We have a built-in RSS reader. We have the ability to create your own web page on the Freedom Box now using the Mozilla browser. There's just a lot more robustness in the browser. We've upgraded to the latest version of Mozilla, and please don't ask me what it is, Jeff, because I really don't remember. It's 1.something. But it is the latest and greatest version of Mozilla. And with System Access, which will be coming out in August, we will have access to PDF. We'll have better access to Word and Outlook Express, and, of course, Windows applications. And I think I'll tell you a secret, if you promise not to tell anyone except for your listeners. We will have access to Skype, which has been a challenge for any adaptive technology company. I'm currently using it to communicate with you today.
I then asked Mike to tell us, why do they call it system access when most of us think of it as a screen reader? I mean, is there a fundamental design reason for this?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, a screen reader brings to mind, it's kind of a double-edged sword. For those people that have tried using a screen reader, like JAWS for Windows or Window Eyes or the HAL products, they've been challenged by the amount of keystrokes. It for a long time, it was a catch-22. You had to learn the operating system to learn your screen reader, or you had to learn your screen reader to learn the operating system. And of course, you know, it's very easy for me to sit here and say, oh yeah, we've got all the answers after these guys paved a lot of the way. I mean, they are truly the pioneers, and they've been here a whole lot longer than us. And I am in no way, shape, or form going to come along and say, listen, we have come out with something that's just so much better than these products, because that's just not true. So I don't want to call it a screen reader because it's not. What we are is we are access to your system. You use the system using native Windows commands, using your mouse support, which is in version 1.1 of FreedomBox System Access, and it's very unobtrusive. It doesn't intrude upon your Windows experience at all. As a matter of fact, Windows doesn't even really, it's not even there. We use a lot of in-process processing that is something that screen readers don't necessarily do in all applications. We do it in just about all applications, and we're just tighter linked into the system. So it's truly system access as opposed to screen reader reads what's going to your screen. It hooks the video, and it kind of tries to determine what's going to happen on the screen, and it also requires a great deal more configuration.
I then asked Mike to tell us where FreedomBox was headed in the future.
Well, I mean, the big thing is that people understand that we have something, I think, for everybody. We've been on the scene for about 4 years now. We're not going anywhere but forward. We've constantly come out with new innovations, and some of those innovations have just stayed with us, and others like the pen have been adopted by other screen reader by other adaptive technology companies, and again, my hat's off to those folks. I think that we're going to continue to innovate. We're going to continue to try and go forward, and I would just suggest to anybody to look at the products. Even if you're a JAWS for Windows user, even if you're a Window Eyes user, we have something for you because we do the one thing that they cannot, and that is we're portable. We go in your pocket, we go with you, and your computer experience is exactly the same on every platform you're on. And that's very powerful for newbies, and it's very, very powerful for advanced users. I mean, if you're a technician, you can walk up to a computer that may be sick, plug in your key to freedom or drop your passkey into the drive and immediately have access without installing anything, without touching the video, without disrupting the way that machine is working right now, and get in there, get under the hood, and get the problems fixed. For the new users, we have version 1.2, which we will be integrating into our current offering. We call it FreedomBox Classic, which is the way that those listeners of Main Menu have been listening for years, the version of our software that you talk to it and it talks to you. That hasn't gone away. We haven't lost focus of that market. As I've said in many programs before, we look at technology like a swimming pool, and we've been working on the deep end of the pool, and the middle end of the pool for quite some time. And now, before the end of this year, you'll see a release of FreedomBox that will incorporate the entire pool, and that will be portable, and it'll be able to go with you wherever you are, anywhere on the planet. I mean, that is just the coolest thing for me, is to know that I can walk up to any computer anywhere in the world.
I then asked Mike to tell you where you can find out more information about FreedomBox and System Access.
You can reach us on the web, of course, at www.freedombox.info. We give you a free 30-day trial. You can try everything from our network, which provides thousands of types of links to entertainment and email and all kinds of things, describe videos, and just so much stuff here to mention. You could try our system access product. You can burn yourself a pass key on your own CD and take it out for a test drive all for 30 days and for free. And if you like it, you simply pay us $9.95 a month. If you want to buy any of the other products, the Passkey product is $299. The Key to Freedom is $599. I'm sorry. And if you like it, you can subscribe to the network. You can give us a call here in the United States at 866-202-0520, or in the UK, you can contact Computer Room Services. They are our dealer in the UK. They were the ones that premiered the product over at Site Village.
I'm talking to Steve Bawks of Dolphin Computer Systems, and I gather, Steve, you have two new products out.
We have two new products. One is not formally launched as yet, and that's a screen reader for PDAs, which is Pocket HAL. A lot of your listeners are probably familiar with our products. HAL is our screen reader for desktop PCs. We have also now pretty much finalised development work on a HAL for PDAs for Windows C, mm-hmm. Windows Mobile platforms.
And the other product?
The other product is a Dolphin Pen, which is a USB memory stick driven device which includes your screen reader software or Dolphin software, and that could be Supernova, it can be HAL, it can be Lunar or Lunar Plus, available on a USB stick. It also enables the users to carry their preferred settings for their software as well as their software around to any PC that obviously supports a USB, external USB slot. The only thing that you'll need to do on all of the PCs is download the Dolphin Interceptor, which is just a simple executable file, downloadable from the Dolphin website. Takes about 20 seconds to download, doesn't interfere with the computer at all, but once it's installed, it means that anybody that has the Dolphin Pen, the USB memory pen, the USB pen, can go up to any Dolphin friendly PC, plug it in, their software will work automatically, and it will work with their preferred settings already saved onto the stick.
And this is already available, is
that's
it?
That's already available. That's available now.
Right. And it is literally PC independent, so long as the PC is connected to the internet, though, surely?
No, it doesn't need to be connected to the internet. Only connected to the internet if you want to send and receive emails.
No, but surely if you want to download the executable file, yes, you would need it connected to the internet, wouldn't you?
You would, but you only download it once.
Right, yeah.
Once it's on the PC, to operate the pen from that point onwards, the PC does not need to be connected to the internet.
So is it possible to put this file on the pen so as it can be transferred to another PC? In other words, so you don't have to keep downloading it each time?
To answer your question, you could do it that way if you wanted to, but we prefer that the easiest way would be if it was already on the PC.
No, I understand that. I'm just thinking of a machine that might not necessarily be on the internet.
If it's not on the internet and you have a Dolphin pen, as soon as you insert the pen the first time, it will ask you to load the interceptor
right
from the pen. So you can load it from the pen, yes.
That's great. And what sort of price is that?
Depending upon your level of license at the moment, it varies. You are currently running Dolphin software. If we look at HAL, for instance, the screen reader, we would charge you for the standard edition. You would pay £355. Mm. So we're basically saying that for the pen, it's the cost of an additional user license.
Right.
So you get a discount for the pen.
Okay. So, Steve, if people want to get in touch with you at Dolphin, they want the pen and they want the PDA, how can they do it?
They can, first of all, contact us via the website or get some further information from the Dolphin website. The address is www.dolphinuk.co.uk, or they can email our offices, and the email address is info@dolphinuk.co.uk, or they can telephone in on either 0845 130 5353, which is the local rate number, or the office number on 01905 754 5777.
Thank you very much. I've been talking with Steve Balks from Dolphin Computer Systems. This is Chrissy Cochran for ACB Radio's Main Menu. I think it should be mentioned here that Steve Balks was not able to give me much detail on the PDA screen reading software, except that he was pretty certain that it would work on most new and older PDAs. They've tried it on many, but he couldn't give me an exact date for when it would be released, nor could he give me details thereof. And as regards the Dolphin Pen, the thing that worries me a little bit is he says you can take it to any computer. I can't really see a library allowing you to plug a USB device into one of their computers and downloading something from the internet. I was a little bit perturbed that he said there was a file, an executable on the pen, but they would prefer you to download it from the internet, and I'm not quite sure why that was. I'm talking with Ellis of
Vision Aid Technologies Limited.
And they, believe it or not, have a portable reading machine. Tell me about it, please. Yes. Do.
Well, the first thing about it is it is truly portable. There are other reading machines around that claim to be portable, and they're portable if you have a suitcase to carry them around in, and then if you can find a PowerPoint to plug them in on. This one weighs 3.8 kilograms and runs for 5 hours on batteries. So it truly is portable. It's a very small unit. It's about the same size as a 17-inch widescreen laptop.
Right.
But it comes with a laptop carry case. So, it's a leather carry case it comes with to carry it around.
Right.
It's got USB interfaces to plug memory sticks
right.
into it. Once you save the documents, you can put them on memory stick.
So, all right, I've got a document.
Yeah.
How do I use it?
Well, lift the lid up. You place the document in the scanner. We've got a newspaper here I can put in.
Yeah, sure.
You put face down in the document, shut the lid, and press one button.
Your document is being scanned in normal scanning mode.
And then we have to wait about 25 seconds for it to scan.
That speech is good, too.
Yes, it's a very good speech engine. Comes with four voices as standard, all very high quality ones.
Right.
Recognizing document.
So it's finished scanning now, it's just performing the second phase of the recognition.
Yeah. So it handles columns and newspaper.
Oh yes, no problem at all.
Absolutely
yes.
Fine,
yes.
Is it? We'll soon find out.
Yes,
we will. Hi, just a little brief. Ask me now to be away from home with your small children. But as they get older, I want them to join me and experience Europe's wonderful culture. Among the size of the group, who shot 66, was Liverpool Leo McDoherty.
And we can slow the voice down slightly.
Right.
Once voice speed decreased. Among the size of the group, who shot 66, was Liverpool Leo McDoherty, whose love of the disco lifestyle.
We can start and stop the reading of the document.
Right.
You can skip forward and backward sentences or letters at a time or words at a time.
Can you go down a line at a time, sort of thing, down to the next line?
A sentence at a time,
yes. Right, a sentence, right. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got a great help feature on there as well. If you press the help button.
Yeah.
Reading area help mode initialized. Press a button on the keypad for a description of its function. Press the same button again, and it will exit help mode and perform the button's function.
So if we press a button now.
This button will start and stop the speaking of the document.
And we can go around the keypad finding out what all the buttons do.
This button changes to the save document area, where you can save the document. That is currently open.
So as long as you know where the help button is, you can go around pressing all the buttons and finding out what they do.
Absolutely.
Once you've found the one that you want,
this button will start.
So let's change the voice. I know.
Yeah.
Press the change voice button. It tells you.
Reading voice.
You press the same button again, and it changes the voice for you.
Among the size of
this
the
is our Indian accent
66
voice.
Was Liverpool Leo.
Oh, I love it!
Yes.
Was loved
oh,
the
yes.
lifestyle, once earned him the nickname George, as in Bess. The 23-year-old does not take his dancing.
That is absolutely excellent.
Thank you.
So, all right, let's come to the nitty-gritty of it. How much would a thing like that cost me?
It's just under £3,000. £2,995.
Right. Is it available worldwide yet, or is it
not yet? No, just in the UK.
So
indeed, it will be launched in the middle of August. So we're taking orders for it now, but it's not. We can't actually supply any until the middle of August.
And will it be launched worldwide? And if so, any idea roughly when?
We have got a distributor lined up. They obviously want to see the absolute final product. So as soon as we have one, we'll get it. And then hopefully by September, it will be available worldwide in any language that you want.
That is excellent.
Well, another great feature about it as well, it's got a built-in CD burner, so you can both play audio CDs and indeed DAISY format CDs in it, but you can also write your documents to CD as well. So you can either write them in a standard text file, so once you scan them you can put them onto CD and then put them into another computer, or you can save it in rich text format, which preserves all the formatting, or you can save it as an audio CD, so you can then listen to it in another CD player. So if this unit's not portable enough for you, you can put it into a Discman and then have your documents around in an even more portable fashion.
So if anyone wishes to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
Well, you can either telephone us. We've got telephone or email, obviously, or even fax. Telephone is 01775 711 977. Mm-hmm. UK number. That's Vision Aid Technologies, the company name again.
Right.
And our email, you can just email info, at visionaid, visionaid.co.uk.
Many thanks indeed.
Not at all, thank you.
We've been talking with Ellis Ellis of Vision Aid Technologies. The portable reading machine he was talking about is the Read Anywhere, and its dimensions are 388 centimetres long by 265 centimetres wide and 61 centimetres high. I'm talking with
Brian Kearney
of
Cragside Accessibility Limited.
And you do what?
We supply a range of products and services, starting from very small, simple things like talking calculators, right up to Braille printers, Braille translation software, CCTV readers, accessible MP3 players, accessible software for mobile phones.
Okay, so let's look at accessible MP3 players. What have you got?
Well, the one we bring in from the States is the Book Courier, which is produced in California by Springer Designs. It's a very small portable unit which will play MP3, it'll play DAISY files, you can play audiobooks from websites such as audible.com. It has a built-in text-to-speech, so you can download anything from the PC. If you can save it as a text file on your PC, you can download it to Book Courier and have it read back using the built-in speech. And it also supports the Tanauk publications, the Talker newspapers of the UK. So the daily newspapers and the magazines that they produce, it supports their file formats as well.
Okay, I presume it works via USB to the PC, does it?
It does, yes. It's supplied with a USB connection and with a headset, and it's...
Does it work with Bluetooth as well?
It doesn't yet, but
right.
I think it might soon. That's one of the things we keep saying to the manufacturers, you know, Bluetooth would be really nice.
Yeah, wouldn't it just?
Well,
yeah.
They get all sorts of things. I mean, one of the requests you often see on the website is, can it have an FM radio built into it? And the answer is, well, yeah, quite easily. But they're just not sure how many people would actually want it, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what's your other big selling product on the lines of that sort of...
We don't so much have things on the lines of Book Courier, but we do sell, we're the UK distributors for a piece of Braille translation software called BrailleMaker for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And we also supply the Index range of Braille printers.
Oh, right,
service and repair those in the UK. So one of the problems, I think, has been in the past, somebody buys an Index, it breaks down, it goes back to the supplier in the UK, they then order the spare parts, and 6 or 8 weeks later you get your embosser back.
Yeah.
We took the decision when we started to do Index that we would actually hold stock of most spare parts, and consequently we can turn most machines around in 3 to 4 working days.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Anywhere
it
in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, we have customers in Shetland, we have customers in Northern and Southern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
The longest part often is getting the courier to get it back, because we send it out on a next day delivery and the customer gets it 3 days later because they're in Southern Ireland or something.
Yeah. Okay, so someone wants a Book Courier or something like that, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, we have a website which is www.cragside.com. We also have online shopping where a lot of the products we sell are available there, and you can purchase them using WorldPay or PayPal. Or if you prefer not to use credit cards over the internet, you can call us once you've decided what you want and we can sort out the payment that way. And the website for that is www.accessibleworld, but it's spelt slightly wrong. It's access and able together. So it's accessibleworld.com.
Oh, that's all one word, accessible world.
Yes, no dots, dashes.
Right, yeah. Well, many thanks for that. I may well get a Book Courier myself. I've been talking with Brian Kearney of Cragside Technology. Their website is www.cragside.com. Cragside, Cragside, .com. I'm talking with Peter Bolscher of Dancing Dots, and he has on the stand an interesting program which will scan in print music and play it back on MIDI. Peter, what's the program called?
The OCR program is called Sharpine.
Right, made by?
Viziv. Viziv, okay. Software, V-I-S-I-V, so that's viziv.co.uk.
Right, okay. And what does it actually do?
It scans a piece of print music. So I have, on the scanner, I have a page of printed music.
Right.
Which I'm going to scan in.
Yep.
And then do the conversion. And then from there, you can do whatever you like with it. I mean, it saves it so that you can then read it into another program and edit it, or play it on a MIDI key, on a MIDI system or whatever.
Right. Now, what sort of scores would it read? I mean, for example, an orchestral score?
Yes, it's very flexible. I've got a simple piano score, but
right.
it can read. I mean, it might not correctly recognise the instruments and play them back in the right voices to start with.
Of course.
But it will recognise staves and print the parts in the correct layout.
That is amazing. All right, let's hear it do its thing.
Enter leaving menu, start button to open with enter sharp I2 input image.
Now it always comes up with an image window which has to be closed, so I'm closing that window.
Why does it come up?
It's just the way Sharp Eye is.
Right,
I mean, it shows you whatever it is.
But it's an input image. Now does that mean taken from the scanner?
If you were going to scan, then that if you were using the mouse, then that image window would be open and it would show you what the image was, but that's no use to
okay,
me.
Okay, fine. Got it.
So
got it.
That's why I closed the window.
Right, okay.
Now I'm going to the file menu and acquire. And that brings up the scanner driver, so it's bringing up the Twain driver. I need to choose scan.
Scan button to activate. Press
space. I'm going to use scan button, and now we'll hear the progress.
1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, 17%, 18%, 19%, 31%, 32%, 33%, 44%, 45%, 54%, 55%, 67%, 68%, 77%, 75%, 89%, 90%, 91%. Input image. Options in tilt.
Right, so that's scan the image in.
Right.
Highlighted.
And again, we've got the image window, which I'm going to close.
Close document window.
Now, we go to the read menu, and we choose
read.
That is the process which converts it into music notation.
Right. And then straight to the MIDI synth or whatever you have.
Yes.
And OK button to activate. Press space bar. Enter. Sharp I2. Yes. All. 20% complete. 30% complete. 42% complete. 55% complete. 63% complete. 70% complete. 80% complete. 89% complete. 1, 2, select and modify with left button. 5 rhythm warnings.
Now it's told me there are 5 rhythm warnings, so that's not too bad. It thinks there are 5 things which it's not quite sure about.
Right.
It's not possible to correct anything in SharpEye without being able to see the screen. You'd really have to be able to use a mouse and see what's going on.
Okay.
So what we can do is we can simply play to see what it thinks it's found. So
okay.
If you can hear it,
yeah, go on.
With all this noise, we'll try and play that.
It's coming through the same speaker. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so it's done a pretty good job.
It's done a pretty good job indeed.
The Gollywog Skateboard.
Yeah.
Now we go into File menu.
Alt F menu. Open image. Dot, dot, dot.
And we save it file, dot, dot, dot. In what's called NIF, N-I-F-F format.
Right.
Control, select, save it, save it, open, control, control, MIDI submit, NIF submit.
As opposed to a standard MIDI format.
Yeah, that's because we're going, in a minute, it's integrated with the Line 15, program. 15. And Line needs the NIF format to understand what's going on. So you, but you could save it as a MIDI file.
Right.
You have in the file menu.
MIDI submenu.
You have MIDI.
Save music as.
Save as. So you could save it in XML also. There's a format
right.
called Music XML.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You could choose at this point what format you want to save it.
Right.
The reason I'm using NIF is just to show you how Line is then integrated with it, which is actually going to speak the notes in the music, which I think is a useful piece of integration.
NIF submenu. Enter. Save. Save as dot dot. Save as dot dot. Save as open temp file.
So we choose save an open temp file, which is the way that it's linked to Line.
Menu. Window. Check. Line scripts active. Line. Import NIF dialog. Resize using.
Now that opens Line.
Yeah. OK button to activate crisp. B1, B1, triple flip, 3 flat, C flat major, 2-4 time, 4K, piano, B flat, 5-16, less number, B4, A.
And it's immediately told you, you're on the treble clef, it tells you
B1,
it's an E flat major.
B1, triple flip, 3 flat, C flat major, 2-4 time, 4K, piano, B flat, 5-16,
it's giving you all that information.
B4, A.
Absolutely.
And you can then move through note by note and hear.
B1.25, A flat, 5-8, staccato, less number B4.
Oh, heavens above. That's great.
So you have a speaking score then. And from that point, you can either edit it using Line.
Yeah.
Because the scripts for Line mean that you can actually type in music or you can correct it as you go along, just as you would with a word processor.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Can you select and highlight as you would with a word processor?
Yes, indeed. Yes, using the shift key and moving the arrow along. It's very intuitive, and you can change note values. For example, the keys on the number row will give you different note values. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear when we... I'm typing on the middle row of the keyboard,
right.
So A, S, D, F goes...
Yeah. Right, just hit the scale. Yeah, okay. For those who couldn't.
And from there, you can, as I say, you can edit it, you can make any corrections you need to. You can hear note by note or all four parts together. You can do a whole lot of things to it, and then you can braille it out from there if you want to use braille music. You can also actually see the music on a braille display at this point. So there's a braille window which shows the braille symbols on the screen. And if I hook a braille display up to it, I can actually read the braille music at the same time. And I can also then go and emboss it in braille music.
That is amazing.
1855.
That is quite some program. So, all right, worst things now, how much would that sort of thing cost?
In the UK, we're talking between £300 or £400 in the UK.
That is pretty good, isn't it, actually?
Yeah.
That really is. That is wonderful. So if anyone wants any more information about this, can they get in touch with you? And if so, at what contact point?
I think to get general information about these programs, the best starting point would be the Dancing Dots website, which is www.dancingdots.com. If you're in the UK, then feel free to get in touch with me. That's Peter Bosher, B-O-S-H-E-R. My email is peter@soundlinks.com. So it's soundlinks, all one word, .com.
I've been talking with Peter Bosher of Dancing Dots. If you wish to know more about the SharpEye Music Transcription Program, please visit the Dancing Dots website at www.dancingdots.com. I am talking with
Roger Wilson-Hines from Peterborough, UK,
representing
Choice Technology.
And you do what?
We do lots of things. We have a mission and a vision. Our mission and vision is to produce low-cost or no-cost access technology for people with little or no sight.
Okay, you talk about low-cost access. Let's look at screen reading software, for example.
Okay. We do a screen reader that makes the computer talk, and in the UK we sell it for £105.
That is low cost,
indeed. That is low cost. We do some software called Webby, which makes the internet easy to use and gets you to ABC very quickly without hassle and without forms mode or virtual focus, and that costs nothing at all.
Okay, so how would, say, the screen reader compare with something like your Jaws and your Window Eyes of this world in terms of its actual ability to do things?
Our screen readers are easy to use. They do most ordinary things, like you get around Outlook Express and Word and, as I've said, the internet. Okay, no problem. When it works, it's really good. Sometimes we have hassle with video cards, and that's not unknown in the screen reader world.
It certainly isn't.
But perhaps we have a bit more than our fair share of that kind of hassle. But once working, it's fine and very, very stable.
Right. And is it presumably Windows 2000, Windows XP?
It was written for XP, so it works best with XP, but we have a 98ME version as well. And it works well with 2000.
Oh, that's great. And what about in terms of memory? Does it need much?
No. It doesn't gobble up memory. It's not greedy at all. do you mean the other way around? It needs 256 RAM. Is that what you mean?
Oh, that's
yeah,
pretty good.
It needs 256 RAM of memory. And speeds of perhaps 700 or upwards. You can use it on less, but it's nice to have a bit of speed when you
use things. Of course.
So any modern machine.
So it sort of has a review mode, the usual things that your average, high-end screen reading software would have.
It stays in the same mode all the time. We don't have a live and dead mode or a Jaws and screen. And
oh, right.
We do everything from the keyboard, and we're always in the same mode, even on the internet. But when you're listening to the internet, you arrow down to hear what you want to hear, or you press Control P and listen to a page, or Control L and listen to a line. If you come across a link or an element in the form, you press Enter and go with it.
Yeah. Which speech engine does it use?
By default, it uses the free Microsoft voices, Mike and Mary and Mike and Space and all that. Yeah.
Yes, quite so.
I didn't do that very well, but yeah, okay.
It'll do. But can it use, the Eloquence engine?
It can use the Eloquence engine or the TNT Voices engine.
Right.
Or it can use the Scansoft Real Speak Voices, Jane and Daniel. And
there are
50 of those going around the world.
Are they really now?
All sorts of languages.
So, all right, what other software products would you like to gently mention?
I've just taken on board a dealership in the UK for Freedom Box, which I think is very interesting.
Now, isn't there a new Freedom Box out?
There's a little baby one. Yes, it's very interesting, Freedom Box. I've had it on my machine for 8 weeks and I've kind of fallen in love with it. it's easy to use. You use tab arrow keys and enter to get anywhere. And they warn you that the voice recognition isn't quite ready yet, but it actually is very good. If you hear something on the screen and you want to do it, you repeat what you hear on the screen.
Right.
And it works, I would say, very well. The new magic thing that they've brought out is it's a memory stick, a little memory stick that you hold in your hand. You push it in the USB port and up pops Freedom Box.
I gather it will work on virtually any machine without any modification at all.
That is the claim.
Yes.
I've not found that to be wrong. I've tried it on a few machines. The version that's coming out in August is even better. Because you don't have to have this is for computer knowledgeable people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need administrative rights to use it.
Exactly. That's what I heard.
Yeah. So you can pop it in at an internet cafe or library or in the college, pop it out, and there's no trace left on the machine.
So that version isn't out yet, then?
Comes out in August.
Comes out in August. Is that coming out worldwide in August?
I think so. But I can't be sure of that yet. I think us screen reader people, we're a bit like builders. We're never quite on time. But we try.
I'm refraining from comment on
that
one.
Thank you. Very kind.
Okay. Anything else?
We have plans in the future, early next year, to bring out some new software. It won't be a screen reader. It'll be a talking word processor, a talking scanner. It'll be Webby. That's our web software that talks. And probably one or two other things like chat and messenger that talk easily. And you'll go into a menu and you'll choose what you want to do. And they will all talk, but it won't be a screen reader with an off-screen model and all that complication.
Right, yeah.
It'll probably sell for about £120 in the UK.
That's more like it.
And it'll be multilingual, it'll be international, it'll be off around the world like we do with our screen reader.
Now, supposing someone wanted to get in touch with you apropos your screen reader and or Freedom Box, etc. in the UK, How can they get in touch with you?
Well, email address for those that use that, it's alias Roger or Ask or Sales at screenreader.co.uk. The telephone, the UK phone number is 01733 234441. We're in Peterborough.
Well, many thanks indeed.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's nice talking to you.
Just to clarify, the website there is www.screenreader.co.uk. And the screen reader Roger Wilson-Hines was talking about there is called Lookout. This is Chrissy Cochran for ACB Radio's Main Menu on ACB Radio Mainstream.
I would like to sincerely thank Mike Calvo and Chrissy Cochran for their help with this week's edition of Main Menu. Thank you, both of you. It was surely appreciated. Do remember that Main Menu is your technology program. If you have any comments, suggestions, or if you would be bold and actually want to produce a segment for Main Menu, then hey, get a hold of us. You can reach us at the email address mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. We would love to hear from you. We will be back next week with another edition of ACB Radio's Main Menu. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week.